stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Monorail Tales. I'm really excited about tonight's episode. Number one, I'm on my own, so that's a bit exciting. A bit nerve-wracking as well, but I'm sure I'll get through it. Because I've got an amazing guest that's joining me tonight, and it's always fun having guests on our show. I keep saying that if anyone wants to come on one of our episodes and share their Disney side, you know, just to let us know, as we would love, you know, to have you guys on the show. Well, that is exactly what our guest for tonight did. He is a member of our Monorail Tales Facebook group, and he reached out to us about coming on the show to share his Disney side. So it really is now my great pleasure to give a warm welcome to Michael Burge. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. I am super excited about being able to come on here.
Well, I am nervous because, you know, I'm used to a sidekick with me.
I understand. Well, but I guess I can be your sidekick.
There you go. We'll work this through together, Michael.
Exactly.
Sounds good. Okay. So every story has a beginning. So let's go back to, if you can just share some information on, like, where you were born, where you live, if you're married, who you're married to, your social insurance number, your bank account number. But no, seriously,
I don't think that would do you any good.
It sounds like it probably matches mine. So anyway, take us back to the beginning, Michael. Where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Alabama. I still live in Alabama. I have not lived anywhere else. I've obviously traveled to other places, but I grew up here in Alabama and still live in Alabama.
And actually, before we get much further, I would like to say thank you for being a member of our group, by the way.
Absolutely. I love being able to, like, pick and choose from, you know, the different podcasts and stuff that I listen to.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So have you ever had any desire to move away from the area that you live in?
Yeah, I have. I have moved around. I moved down after I graduated college down to the coast, Mobile, Alabama. And that's where I lived down there for a few years and worked. And, you know, we've always had family that lived down there and stuff. And I just happened to find this job back up here, actually, in the city that I grew up in. So, you know, both my folks were still up here at the time. So I said, well, it was a good job opportunity. So I just moved back up here.
Right. So, I mean, it's not as though you've always, you know, been in that town all your life. You have moved around.
Right. I've moved around some, yes.
Yeah. I find it really interesting, actually, because, you know, I was born in England, emigrated to Canada, and then relocated down to the States. And even when I was living in Canada and England, I was still moving around from, you know, town to town. You know, growing up, my dad was in the Marines. So, you know, we moved around with him. And in Canada, we relocated from Montreal to Ontario. So it's kind of funny when I have gone back to England and I see people that, you know, I left all those years ago and they're still living on the same street in the same town doing the same thing. And it's like, wow, you know.
It's pretty interesting.
It is. And
where in England are you from?
Well, okay, I was born in Kent, but we ended up on the west side of England, which is Bristol. And But I also moved to Sheffield, which is north. So, yeah, a bit like manure, spread around a bit.
There you go.
Hence this funny accent, you know.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, all right, this is a sign of a good show when you go off track. And we've already gone off track, Michael. And yeah. It's only five,
just
six
a little minutes. Bit.
And before we actually get into your Disney site, because I know you do have one, what other interests do you have?
I play music. I've been in a band for, I think we started probably around 2014-ish. And we recently, it's been a couple years now that we kind of stopped playing. I like to fish, do a lot of fishing on the lake that's close up here, fishing down, in the Gulf. Pretty much anything outdoors is, what I really like to do. And yeah, that's really about it. Music and anything outdoors.
So I take it your band played all Disney songs and things like that, then?
Of course. Of course.
No, actually, joking apart, what kind of music did you play?
We kind of were a alternative rock band. We played a lot of rock from the 90s and the early mid 2000s era, and just really whatever, whatever we really wanted to play, really. But that usually we stayed within that alternative 90s, early 2000s, mid 2000s rock genre.
Right. How exciting. Now, there's one more question I would like to ask before we start getting into your Disney side. And I do think I've heard you mention it yet. Are you married?
I am.
Okay.
I am. My wife's name is Barbs. She is also a big Disney fan. And if I don't watch her, she will have trips booked.
Oh, gosh.
And I kind of just have to deal with it at that point in time. So.
Okay. So during this, our little get together, this, making this episode, Michael, I think we're going to hear probably a bit more about Barbs.
Oh, yeah.
And her
probably play. So. She's great. So,
okay. So we've got a little bit about you, Michael. Let's take you back, if you don't mind, just to sort of growing up again, because now we're going to start getting into your Disney side. When did you first become aware of Disney in your life?
So I obviously grew up, I had an older brother, and we probably had every single Disney VHS you could possibly think of. And I also had two of my aunts on my dad's side is who I've pretty much gone to Disney with now, besides my wife, for the past 9 years or so, 10 years, somewhere around in there. They were big Disney fans, and one of them actually managed a Disney store, and there was a Disney store down in Mobile. And when we would go visit her, we would basically, let's go to the Disney store, and we'd walk in and she'd pretty much just give me free rein of the store to get, kind of whatever I wanted, which was usually going to be probably a giant stuffed animal of some sort. I had growing up, The Jungle Book was one of my favorite movies. Rafiki was one of my favorite, characters ever. But I had a giant stuffed Ka and also a decent size stuffed Rafiki. So,
wow.
That's kind of how, I've always had it I've always had Disney around when I was younger, just through, family and stuff like that.
Right. How cool would that be to have free reign of a Disney store?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
And I do have to ask, all these, stuffed animals that you acquired during you running around the Disney store. Do you have any of them left still today?
I have a couple, and I think my nephew has a couple of them now. I had a Timon that I still have, or that he has now, and that's about the only one that I can think of.
Okay, so yeah. You've got, you know, that kind of link to Disney. What age were you when you first went to Disney? Can you remember?
I think I was around 4 or 5.
Oh, quite young.
Maybe 6. Yeah, my folks took me and my brother. You know, he's 4 years older than me, so he's, you know, he was probably able to enjoy it a little bit more than I was able to.
Right. And I suppose you don't really remember too much about that first trip being
about the only thing that I remember is because I've seen pictures of it and it kind of triggers it just a little bit. We did a character breakfast and Pooh and Tigger were there. And that's about all I remember. Oh, and I remember when the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was at Hollywood Studios.
Was that the playground?
Yes, it was the big playground with the grass and the
big bug.
Camera film and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay, you were, you know, between the age of 4 and 6 when you first went. How often did your parents take you? Was this a yearly event or?
That was it.
Oh, that was it.
That was it. Okay. Whenever I was younger. They probably went with, you know, a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old and was like, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to do this again.
Lesson learned. Okay. So you were deprived of Disney until you got older.
I was deprived of the parks.
Yes. So I'm sure you could still run around the store. And so now you've grown up a little bit. How long ago was it when you went back to Disney? You know, what age group were you when you went back, I should say?
I believe that was 2000 and it was either 2000. I think it was 2012 when I went back. It was either 2012 or 2013.
So about 10 years ago then.
Yep.
Was this a solo trip? Trip with friends? Trip with wife? Or
this was with my two aunts that are twins and my uncle.
Oh.
And when I started going back with them, this was probably the first time I went back. It was probably their 6th or 7th year in a row, probably. And they're still on that roll. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, when you went back with them, were you on property or off property?
Yes. I got really lucky because they're obviously veterans. The first year that I went back, we actually stayed at the Poly. So that was pretty awesome that I got to stay at the Polynesian. My first year going back to Disney of, you know, being an adult.
Right. Just for our listeners, my husband has joined us. Steve has joined us. He of little faith, who didn't think I'd be able to make this episode.
No, I didn't say that.
Not out loud. Okay. No, just for our listeners, Steve has joined us. And yeah, let's continue this. So, all right. So you went 12 years ago with your, you know, relatives. Was that the start of your addiction, would you say, of going back to the parks?
100%, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How many years in between all your visits on average?
Since I started going back?
Yeah.
I've gone every year since I started going back.
All right.
Yeah.
Gotta ask, do you always stay on property or?
Yes, we every year since I've been going back, we've either gone the week after Thanksgiving, the second week after Thanksgiving, the first week of December, somewhere around in there, just because we like to go during Christmas time. And then this year, this past year, the 2021, me, my wife, and my father-in-law went over Thanksgiving. So,
How was that? Because isn't that one of their busy times?
It really was not that bad. Wow. I mean, that there was obviously a lot of people there, but it wasn't just so ridiculous that you couldn't manage anything. And plus, that was 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe after the Genie Plus came out. And we definitely took full advantage of that. And yeah.
No. Oh my gosh. I'm getting so many questions from the comments you're giving here. Let's stick with Genie Plus a moment. In kind of a nutshell, what do you think of it? Yay or nay?
Obviously, I'd much rather the free stuff. Mm-hmm. That was a lot nicer knowing beforehand, hey, when I get there on these days, at these times, I get to ride these rides. The Genie Plus, I mean, I didn't despise it. We definitely, if we didn't have it, and you obviously weren't getting your fast passes, we wouldn't have been able to do everything that we wanted to do.
Okay.
Obviously, the lines were long. We could have stood in line, yes. But once you figure out kind of, you get up early, you hop on the first one that you can get, if you're trying to get one of the big ones, you try to get on that. And pretty much right after we did that, we would get there at Rope Drop and we would ride a big one. And then like, say for Magic Kingdom, we got there at Rope Drop, we stayed on property. So, we got the 30 minutes before the park opened. We went straight to Space Mountain, jumped right on it. And then I had a Genie Plus thing for Big Thunder. So, right off the get-go, I was able to get those two. And then pretty much right after I got on Big Thunder, as soon as I pretty much scanned in, 5, maybe 10 minutes later, I could get another one. So, once you kind of figured out how to work the system, just a little bit, it really wasn't that terrible.
I'll be honest, and I said this on a recent episode, Steve and I have not tried the Genie Plus as of yet. Yep. But one of our other co-hosts, Rick, he sounds very much like you. He knows how to work it to his advantage, that he gets all his rides in. You say 30 minutes early, and I keep hearing, you can get in 30 minutes early. Well, it used to be an hour. When Steve and I first started going, they also had late hours till 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. So when I hear 30 minutes and people get excited about 30 minutes, maybe I'm out to lunch here and I'm fair, but does it make a difference, that 30 minutes?
I mean, honestly, not really, not to me, not after being there the years like you're talking about, where you could get in an hour early and then you can obviously, you get the extra magic hours at night. So, you really didn't have to worry about a whole lot because, you could just wait until everybody else left and then you could pretty much walk on anything you wanted to. Pretty much the 30 minutes got us to, like, when we were going to Tomorrowland, the bridge, and then you just had to basically just sit there and wait until they let you come through. And then it was just like a madhouse of people running through there. But I mean, by the time you do that, you go to your ride and you get off, it's been 30 minutes. Everybody else is already in the park. Right. So.
Okay. I mean, I think in the past, Steve and I have done Rope Drop, but maybe it's our age or just Okay, maybe it's my age. Whatever. Also, I would like to know, when you and Bob's go down to Disney, how long do you go when you go? Do you go for a week?
We like to. I think that a week, you know, 6 days, 7 days is kind of the sweet spot. You know, you don't, this past year we went for 4 days, and that was, you know, you were moving at all times every day. But we usually try to stay a week, so we could have a down day, just a day to go to Disney Springs, or just resort hop, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes our schedules don't allow us to do the week like we want. So we just make do with the 4 days, and we have a great time with that, too.
Yeah. Your planning style, is this something that you and Bob's does together? Is she more move out the way, Michael, you know, I'm making plans, or do you just do it off the cuff when you get there?
It's funny, because when I started going with my aunts, they would have a laminated itinerary of what reservations we got, what time our fast passes are, what days we're going to be at what park. So, you know, we were just kind of cruising. We had everything was already done. Well, the first time she went with me, she used to go a lot with her dad. Her and her dad used to go, you know, almost every year. And they were just kind of get there and just blaze away. So when she came with me, she was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Y'all are just kind of taking your time and working your way through this place. And so it was kind of, but I think she kind of liked that. She's kind of a planner. So, you know, we, when me and her started to go, you know, we started to do the same thing. We liked knowing, you know, having a plan, you know, where we're going to look at to be eating lunch or supper, you know, this is kind of going to be our route when we get in the park, to what rides and stuff like that. So.
So like when you're with your family and all, do you guys wear the same t-shirts?
Since I think you missed this earlier, okay. You weren't in here yet. My aunts are twins.
Right.
So they would all the time wear, you know, they would definitely coordinate their shirts. But me and Barb's usually don't. You know, I have my shirts that I wear, and she has hers, and, you know, that's kind of how we work it.
Yeah, and that's how I am, other than when we went with our family a few weeks ago. I kind of had to, but.
Right.
I mean, I've been.
Some of those shirts are great, though. I love just.
Yeah, I love them on everybody else.
Actually, you and I are starting to wear the same shirts, but that's only because of our logo.
Yeah, we have the same logo, but I refuse to wear the same color.
Oh, I've got a picture of you wearing the pink shirt, and I'm wearing the pink shirt, so don't go there, Sanders.
That was photoshopped.
Don't believe it, Michael. Don't believe it. You went as this 4 to 6 year old that you really can't remember, but over the years that you have been going, Disney has changed quite a bit. How have you adapted to the changes? You know, I'm sure you've missed some rides, but I'm sure you got even more excited about new rides coming.
I just kind of basically I try to do a lot of research. I follow like a lot of different groups and stuff. So I see it, you know, as the things change, since, you know, I usually have like a year between when I was there and when I go again. So I usually try to do a lot of research with what's changing and all this stuff. Like, we actually went in the middle of COVID in 2020. And let me tell you, that was honestly probably the best trip that we've ever had there. Because, you know, parks were at what, like, I think they were at like 30% or something. 30 or 40%. I can't remember how many percentage they were letting in the park at that point in time. But it was honestly that was one of the best trips we had. Now, obviously, like what you're talking about adapting, it was a lot different with like even just the quick service stuff. You know, they wanted you to do everything on your phone. So they wanted you to order on your phone. They wanted you to, you know, do all that stuff. So that took some getting used to. But like I said, you know, doing some research throughout the year, you know, you kind of figure that out before you get there. So you're not just like shell shocked when you get there and be like, oh, well, I can't just go up here and go in this place and order food. No, you know, then you have to, you know, do it on your phone and figure out what you want and do all this stuff. So that definitely took some getting used to during that whole time and era and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I mean, you say getting used to, if you had the choice right now, would you prefer to kind of keep it where everything is done on the phone or just, hey, my phone's switched off, I'm enjoying the parks?
I would honestly like to go back to like it was.
Right.
You know, yeah. My Disney experience is, it's great. Like, it's awesome to be able to just, you know, if you're all the way on the other side of the park, let me pull this up. Okay. Yeah. I can go, you know, this has only got like Rock and Roll's only got a 30-minute wait. Let's ease on over there. But as opposed to like ordering and all that stuff and setting up all your stuff, all, you know, fast passes and stuff on the phone and all that, you know, it kind of takes away a little bit because you're looking at your phone the whole time. You're always having to look at your phone and check for updates and all that stuff. And, you know, it does kind of take away from what's in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my opinion. But, you know, I think there's good things to both. But, you know, that's just my opinion on it.
No, yeah. And I really think you're absolutely right on that, because even though it seems like you're doing the right thing, going through the phone and all, you're right. You don't look up. You don't look around. You're not seeing things. You're too busy like, oh, is my order up? Is my order? Oh, no, not yet. And you keep staring at it. So
right.
I think what I'm going to do next time I go, I'm going to take, and this is probably before your time, I'm going to find one. I think I got one around here somewhere, an old rotary phone. And mm-hmm. I'm taking it into the park and I'm going like, I'm sorry, this isn't working.
I can't find the app on it.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I twist this little thing.
It just keeps back and forth and it's just not working.
Yeah.
But you're right, Michael. I mean, you know, you said it's your opinion. You know, everyone's allowed their opinion. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Steve and I have just got back from Disney doing a big family reunion, 21 of us.
Oh, wow.
And Steve and I was going to record an episode. And the more I thought about it, I thought, gosh, there's just too many negatives, you know, to that trip. And it all surrounded the using the phone, connecting family members with other families so they could ride the ride together. And they were all looking to Steve and I because, you know, we're the pros, apparently. I mean, I just felt like our whole week was...
we lost hours.
Hours, literally.
Every day, hours.
Yeah.
I understand. I've never been with a crowd that big. So, and when I, you know, I think the biggest that we went with my family was, there may have been like 12 of us, but this was before everything was on the phone. This was done when you were booking it. Like you set up everything. The only thing you had to have was the time that you were supposed to be at your fast pass or reservation or whatever. Right. Like all that was done way beforehand. And so we didn't really, you know, we actually did get to, you know, actually be with everybody and, you know, have a good time and stuff without stressing out about if I have such and such on, you know, my Disney experience, if they're on it, if I can get them in my group and set them up with, you know, all this stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we had tried to, and Rick Forbes, co-host, was also part of trying to help solve some of these issues before we even got to the parks. Yep. But unfortunately, you know, nothing can be done over the phone, or you wait right. 6 hours on the phone. So you have to go to customer service, guest services, sorry, when you're down there. Don't get me wrong. We did have a good trip with the family, but I just don't know if I wanted to do an episode because it was just too negative about, you know, how the system is working at this time. So,
oh yeah, that's completely understandable.
Yeah. So anyway,
enough about us.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't mind at all.
Michael, interview us about our trip. Michael wants to interview.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm going to SeaWorld.
Oh, actually, that's a good question. When you're down, you know, let's say you go down to Disney for a week, do you stay at Disney all that time, or do you ever go to the other parks?
When I was down there the first time, when I was much younger, we did do the other parks who shall not be named. But I would like to go back to those other parks that shall not be named. But me and my wife have talked about it, but no, pretty much when we're down there, we are there.
Right.
Pretty much the whole time.
And actually, I didn't ask you this. When you go, do you fly or drive?
We drive.
Okay.
What's your drive time? About what? 8 hours?
Yep. Pretty much exactly. It's really not a bad drive down either. I just kind of get in the zone and go.
Now, which is your go-to resort then? Do you tend to stay at the same one, or do you move around?
Oh, that one's tough.
Sorry.
If I had to absolutely pick somewhere to stay like every single time, I would probably have to go with the Wilderness Lodge, just because I like it so much during Christmas. You know, we actually got lucky and we stayed club level there one time, which was pretty, pretty awesome. Now, don't get me, the rooms don't get much bigger, but you get the extra perks to go along with it. But I really like, if I had to choose somewhere, it would be Wilderness Lodge. I really love Port Orleans. We've stayed there quite a few times. But honestly, when we went over Thanksgiving, me and my wife and my father-in-law stayed at All Star Movies, and we stayed in a preferred room. And let me tell you, that was pretty clutch when it came to how close we were to the bus stop and how close we were to the eating area and all that good stuff. It was, and the room was pretty big. So yeah, that's definitely a top also.
Yeah. That's where we just left. No, we left music.
Actually, you know what, Michael, I think, the values sometimes get a real bad deal.
But see, all of them have been renovated over the past 2 years. So they're nice.
Right.
I mean, you've got that Innova bed that lifts up if you don't, you know, when you're not using it.
And that is what we had in our room. Like, right. we got one of the newer renovated rooms.
Yep.
And it was, I was a little worried about it at first, not because I'm like above staying at All Star Movies or anything like that at all. But, you know, I wasn't aware that they had been recently renovated.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started looking into it, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of nice.
Steve and I have stayed at, you know, places like Old Key West, Boardwalk. But I think there's a good chunk of me that really likes, you know, the All Stars and Pop Century and Art of Animation. Yeah, just
the Art
because,
of Animation. Oh, yeah. I love the Art of Animation. I think it's awesome.
I mean, it feels like you're at Disney.
It's like it's almost its own park.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, have you stayed at Pop since the Skyliner has gone in?
No, we rode the Skyliner. it was kind of a bummer because I was so stoked to ride it this year because I didn't get to ride it the year before. And so, like, I told Barbs, I was like, listen, we are riding this thing. I don't care what we have to do. We're riding this thing this year. But we get on it, and it's nighttime. Oh. So you can't see anything because of the sunscreen that they have, like, on the windows. You can't see out of it at all. So it's just this dark ride in this thing. So that was kind of a bummer, but I guess I finally rode it. So
actually, what we tend to do, Michael, when we ride that, we ask if we can get one without the
without the screen. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you can't if it's not super busy. Even then, going at night, it's not the best.
So next time you go, just request if you can have one with clear glass, because I mean that's where you get your good pictures.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah,
well, definitely. Better pictures.
That's what I was looking for, but that just didn't happen.
Okay, so now you're at Disney. What is your favorite park that you and Bob's likes to go to?
We're kind of different when it comes to that. I personally, my favorite park is probably Epcot. I love every park, but Epcot is, you kind of have to be there all day. It's like 600 miles long if you walk around that thing. But I could be at Epcot all day. I'm a big fan of Epcot. But also there's different things that I like about each park, but I just kind of like everything about Epcot.
So let's say you're there for 5 days.
Well, what's Barb's?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Hers differs from time to time. She really likes Animal Kingdom. She likes Animal Kingdom a lot. She likes, because her favorite ride of all time is Dinosaur. That's, she loves that ride. And then obviously, you know, and then after those, we go to Magic Kingdom and it's the Country Bear Jamboree and Carousel of Progress. She is probably the world's biggest Carousel of Progress fan that you could probably think of.
Oh. So,
what's your favorite ride?
I would have to say either Rock and Roll or Flight of Passage is probably going to be my favorite.
Have you done, Rise?
I have. And that, you know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. And that most definitely is one of the greatest rides of all time.
Yeah.
But there's something, you know, I guess different for Rock and Roll for me, because when I first started going back, that was when I was most kind of like stoked for. And so that one is always going to be the top, but Flight of Passage and Rise of the Resistance is definitely right there all together for sure.
Yeah, Flight of Passage is probably mine too. Even though Rise is like, it's like you get off of it, and I've only done it once, but you get off of Rise and it's like, what did I just experience?
Oh man, I know. It blew my mind the first time that I wrote it. It was insane.
And this is where I'm glad Steve did join us, because otherwise, Michael, we'd be talking about the small world right now. Yeah. Big difference. Go back to Epcot. I think it's your favorite.
Yep.
When you go to Epcot, do you tend to snack all day on all the goodies, or do you tend to actually, you know, have a sit down meal for lunch and supper?
My snacks are they're a little different at Epcot. They're more of the liquid variety.
Amen.
So That's what I like to do at Epcot. I'm a big fan of the drinking around the world. I love going and just trying the different kinds of beers and stuff like that. But to answer your question, yeah, there, you know, I do like to go and just kind of find a place to sit, which is also my favorite restaurant. People may fight me on this. I'm not 100% sure. But the Yorkshire County Fish Shop is probably my favorite place to eat. So
Yorkshire.
Yeah.
I love it. I love your accent.
And
Yorkshire.
Yeah. You know, I didn't want to butcher it, but I probably did.
No.
Oh, trust me. She'll be butchering other things. Don't worry.
But
no, you said it really nice. Do you know, it's funny, Mike, because when I first started going, that place used to be owned by, was it Arthur Treacher's? I can't remember.
Harry Ramsden.
And they were really, really good fish and chips. And just over the years, you know, they've...
How would I know it was Harry Ramsden, too?
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But anyway, over the years, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they went down. Now, I haven't tried them for, gosh, how many years? Quite a few years. But you know what, Michael, I think next time I go, I will try them because I'm starting to hear people say they are enjoying them.
We were actually at Epcot on Thanksgiving this past year, and that's where we had Thanksgiving dinner was there. So that was nice.
Well, that's cool. Actually, Steve said it, but I'm going to steal his question. When you go to drinking around the world, where do you actually start then?
Always Mexico.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Now, do you have a drink at every pavilion?
So I figured out my first year that you need to space it out throughout the day.
Yes.
Or if you don't space it out throughout the day, like I said, we're usually there. Epcot is usually our like 2-day park. We'll usually hit that twice if we're there in a week, which is what I like to do. So like I said, I figured out the first time that I ever went that it's probably smart to space it out a little bit. Yes, I do get one everywhere, but it's a lot more spaced out than what it used to be. Right. So I do have my go-tos pretty much everywhere. So I kind of stay true to those. I usually don't branch out too much. So.
Right. Now, is that just beers or do you get into the other kind of drinks as well?
I usually just do beers. Just because, you know, that's probably the smartest thing.
Exactly.
me and Barb's went over, we did the Mickey's Christmas package 1 year. And her and I went, and we actually kind of strayed off of that path a little bit because she's not, you know, a very big beer drinker. So, you know, I did try other things in each places. I mean, that, you know, it was fine. You know, I got to try some things that I don't usually do thanks to her. And that was cool. But, yeah, it's usually just beer.
That's about the only, I'm not a huge beer drinker, but unless I'm in Epcot.
Right. Well, I mean, you have to, there's so many different beers from so many different other countries that just, you know,
have you had the grapefruit beer over in Germany? I always
the grapefruit Schaffenhofer.
Yes. See, I'm the only one that can't. I cannot pronounce that one.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that one. That is definitely one of my favorites from over there.
Yeah, that's. I actually had. What was the one you get at the beer garden? Like 18? No, like 10 beers in one.
Oh gosh! Yes.
And I had that.
Oh,
and
man.
I loved it until I got to the end. And I'm like, I really don't want this beer again.
Yeah.
Not till next year.
once those dark, thick ones get kind of hot, it gets kind of difficult.
But yeah, I really, really enjoy drinking beers around the world, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, I did send you a list of questions, and I'm just scanning it now. And question number 11, maybe it's an appropriate time to ask. Question 11 was one thing that you would never do again at Disney. So,
huh?
Anything that you did inappropriately while drinking around the world, or you can take the fifth. It's up to you.
Definitely not. I definitely am not going to do anything to ruin my chances of ever going back to that place. I would say that, because I was actually talking about this, but I was like, I was asking Barb's about this. I was like, I don't really know of something that I wouldn't ever do again. But basically, all I was able to come up with was, as some of these people get aggravated with, yes, I am a childless millennial that goes to Disney. And until I go with a child that really wants to do it, I would probably never do Enchanted Tales with Belle again.
Again, so you have done it once.
I've done it one time, and I was like, this is... Everybody there was looking at me like, why... You're the big bearded guy with long hair at this point in time. Why are you in here with all these children and listening to Belle talk? So, yeah, I would probably never do that again. I will say that Kite Tales was kind of a disappointment. There is some humor that happens there. I don't mean it to be mean, because I know they're having some issues with it. But if you did just want to kill some time, just sit around, Kite Tales is kind of entertaining in more ways than one. So,
okay, I keep hearing that, Michael.
Well, we saw part of it.
Well, we saw the end, but yeah, we were not
sitting in the...
Yeah, we wasn't in the immediate area. But that's... We're going to have to do that one. We're going to have to put that on our bucket list.
It's not terrible. It's not like the worst thing that you've ever seen. But there's just so much room for error in every aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
that pretty much every show you're going to get, something's going to happen. Right. And for us, it would just happen right in front of us. The people that kind of walk at the bottom of the amphitheater with the kites and stuff.
Right.
They got their kites all tangled together, and they spent half the show trying to get them undone. And yeah, it was interesting.
What's your favorite snack? What's one thing that you always have to have when you go to Disney?
I always have to have, and I got this from my uncle, because he always has to have it. And I kind of picked up a lot of the same kind of things that they would do like over the years,
right,
that I've been going with them, was always have to get a Mickey pretzel. But as opposed to him, he doesn't get the plastic cheese. I get that. I have to have the plastic cheese with it.
Okay.
So I always have to get a pretzel it doesn't have to be every day, but before I leave, I have to get a pretzel with some plastic cheese.
Sheila's got this curious look. It's not real plastic.
No, I know it's not. It's cheese whiz. Cheese whiz? Is it like cheese whiz? Yeah.
No, I've always seen a lot of people call it the plastic cheese.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So.
No, the reason why I've got this weird look on my face is I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever had a pretzel there.
No, you don't like
pretzel. That's why I've never had one there.
But you've never tried it.
Honestly, one of the best pretzels once again, this is just my opinion. The Baseline Tap House at Hollywood Studios, they have a really good pretzel.
We haven't officially been there yet.
Oh, okay. that's also a very, if you're, they have a lot of local beers there. I say a lot of local beers. They do, they have local beers there, like Florida and Orlando, you know, just around the area. But it's also a cool place. You know, they also have some pretty good food there also, one being the pretzel, which is really, really good.
I'll have to remember that too, because usually I just see them at the carts, but.
Right.
Okay, staying on food. Do you and Bob's have a favorite restaurant?
I did not ask her this question. I don't know her favorite sit-down restaurant. Oh, actually I did. Because her and her dad always used to go there, which was Sci-Fi.
Well, we've never been.
We have not been yet.
Mm-mm. Me and her went the first year. Well, I say me and her, her and I went the first time that me and her went together to Disney. We got a reservation for Sci-Fi. Mine would probably have to be, like I said, the fish shop is always a favorite. And but if you're going to go off away from the parks, the I have two, and they're both at Disney Springs. One of them is Raglan Road and Art Smith's Homecoming.
Yep. I'm with you on Art Smith's. And so if you are ever there where Sheila and I are there, you're going to be able to eat with her at Raglan and me at Art Smith.
Oh, yeah. I could sit at Raglan Road for hours.
Now, do you always have the fish and chips there, or do you get
pretty
adventurous?
Much, yeah. Pretty much. I think I did like the scallops as like an appetizer one time. But yeah, it's probably going to be the fish and chips that I go with there. Fish and chips and a Guinness.
Oh, Guinness. Always. Gosh, I haven't had a Guinness for years. The podcast crew went down to Disney on the 50th. Anniversary on for the 1st of October, and all of us ended up at Raglan Road, you know, to have a meal together. And I thought, you know, every time I go out, I always go for the fish and chips. So, you know, let's try something else. So I went with bangers and mash, and it was the biggest mistake I think I made on that trip.
That's a bummer.
It was just so dry.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing.
It's English food.
Excuse me, not all English food is dry. How rude.
But yeah, I love Raglan. I love all the music. I love that, you know, they bring the bands in from when I was there a few years ago. The band that was playing outside was from Ireland. I got to talk to them for a little while, and that was awesome. But yeah, I could just sit there, listen to music, eat, and have some drinks and be completely content with life.
Yep.
Is there a restaurant that you wouldn't go back to?
Not really. We went to Tony's one time. And my food was okay, but it wasn't great. So I guess I would try it again, but it wouldn't kill me if I never tried it again.
Yeah,
as bad as that sounds.
No, same here. And from what I understand from other people, it hasn't gotten better or worse.
And that's kind of a bummer, because I was, you know, super excited whenever, whenever we got the reservation there, my aunt told me, you were going to eat. I was like, oh, that's awesome. But it just was not really what I expected it to be. And, you know, it is what it is.
How about a place that you would love to take your wife to that you have not been to?
Oh, man.
You mean a restaurant?
Yeah. Sit down. Anywhere.
That one's kind of tough. Because we,
Well, let's help him out here. Have you ever been to the Brown Derby?
I tried to get reservations there this past year, and I was not able to get it. And she, I think she was pretty excited about the menu, and I was kind of bummed that we didn't get to go there because neither one of us has ever eaten there. And I've heard from a lot of people that it's very, very good. So that one could definitely be on the list for sure.
I don't know if it'd be romantic with tons of kids running around, but have you ever been to Cinderella's castle?
Oh. No, but Barb's had mentioned she would like to do a dinner there.
Okay. And the big one, and Steve and I have done this. It'd be interesting to see if you've done it. Victoria and Albert's.
No.
Is that something that you would one day think it's worth splurging on, or?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
We did Be Our Guest for dinner. And that was probably one of the nicer ones that we have done. And I got to tell you, that was probably the best steak that I've ever had in my entire life. Huh. It was very, very good. And of course, the gray stuff is delicious. So
that's the dishes.
No, Victoria and Albert's, I think, you know, it's one of those for me. Now, Steve disagrees, but it's for me, it's a one off. You know, I've done it. I have no desire to go back.
I'll give you a chef's table.
Well, they serve things like buffalo and just things that you don't normally see in, you know, right. Your normal supermarkets.
Right.
A normal. They don't serve fish and chips.
No, it's fancy.
Bummer. Everywhere should.
Yeah, and they have like little footstools to put your purse on, and I'm pretty down to earth. It was a good experience. How many courses? I can't remember. Six or seven. But bite size, you know, it's
sure. Yeah.
I gotta admit, at least I was full.
Yeah, because you ate off my plate. Oh, yeah. But no, I mean, you know, if you ever, you know, if it's within budgets, I would say definitely, sure. You know, it's worth it at least once. So,
yeah.
Okay. You're in the parks. Can I hear who your favorite character is? And let's include Bob's favorite character as well.
I would have to say, like I said, Rafiki. I was able to meet him the first year that I went back, and we did like Rafiki's Planet Watch, and he was there. So that was super cool. Cause that was the first time I was back, and I was like, you know, this guy's the best. So, I'd have to say Rafiki. And obviously, since I'm a huge Star Wars fan, Chewie, I have a picture of like me and Chewie hugging, and it was probably one of the greatest days of my life. Oh, obviously, besides getting married to Barb's.
Oh, I like how you added that.
Yeah, that obviously tops it. But Chewie is a close, like, second because, you know, he's Chewie. He's the best ever. And I would say, and also who was a lot of fun to meet if we're just talking about meet and greets. So my favorite characters, probably Rafiki and Chewie. But two of my favorite meet and greets that I had was Alice. She was a lot of fun. She did a very good job. You know, just being weird and talking off the wall and, you know, really being, you know, really getting into character. And Tiana. Tiana was, you know, obviously being from the South like me, was quickly able to pick that out. So it was fun, you know, talking to Tiana also. She was a lot of fun.
That's pretty neat.
Michael, pre-COVID, is this something that you and Bob's would have done every trip? Go and look out for characters?
Yes and no. Kind of. Like, I always wanted to go meet, you know, Chewie and stuff like that. If I, you know, and and BB-8. BB-8's was a cool, you know, meet and greet also. She loves, her favorite character of all time is Stitch. So every year we go, we have to find Stitch somewhere. So obviously when we went during over Christmas, a couple of years ago, we got to do like a real meet and greet with Stitch. And then over the past 2 years, obviously it's not the real meet and greet, sadly, but she really loves Stitch. That's her all-time favorite character. Other is Rapunzel. She loves Rapunzel. So we haven't seen her in, I don't know if we've seen her since we've been going to the parks, actually. But we have seen Stitch, so.
Okay. We all have a bucket list. Do you have a Disney bucket list?
This was also another tough one.
You think you come on this show for easy questions, yeah, Michael?
Yeah, no.
No.
I tried to prepare myself just a little bit. I would like to go to Disneyland Paris. That's definitely on the bucket list for sure. I've seen a lot of character meets there that look really cool. And just the way, I don't know, just the way the park looks to me looks very Disney-esque. I mean, I know that's, you know, that's obviously every park looks like that, but I don't know. That one is just definitely on my bucket list to do.
Okay. So Paris is on your bucket list, but have you been to Disneyland yet?
I have not been to Disneyland yet.
Okay. No. All right.
I guess I don't really think about that one because I don't think about that one being on the bucket list, but I guess because it's, you know, it's right, obviously in the same country. So I feel like, you know, that's
okay.
Just something I would love to go to Disneyland also, just to the, you know, the El Original. So sure. Yeah, I would definitely love to do that someday if I ever get the chance to.
You guys would be in love.
I have heard that. I have definitely heard that.
Disneyland was my first park I ever went to. But that was in like 1972 because we lived in LA back then.
Right.
But let me know when you want to go to Paris. I've been looking every day. I look constantly.
It's kind of interesting, Michael, because the last few shows I've been doing and kind of questions like I've just asked you, similar questions to what I've just asked you, a lot of people are choosing Paris as they're like on their bucket list or, you know, where they want to go. I'm not really hearing, and maybe it's understandable to some point, but I'm not hearing Shanghai or Tokyo.
Well, Tokyo, everybody wants to, I mean, that's the premier park.
Tokyo. Shanghai was actually Barb's. That's where she would like to go. I chose Disneyland Paris and she was like, I don't know. I would kind of like to go to Shanghai before I went to the Disneyland Paris. So
Shanghai's awesome.
Steve's been left me
That's
at
awesome.
Home. Left me at home.
I was there 10 days.
Oh man, that's crazy.
10 days solo trip. That's awesome. Well, it wasn't really solo because Sheila was in my ear most of the time.
Fussing for being there without her.
Do you know what I hate?
Flying.
Oh, no. I mean, besides flying. What I really hate is, you know, I keep looking at my screen and it's showing
Mexican
me how... You stop it. No wonder I have so much to edit when you come on the shows. What I really hate is when I'm looking at my screen and I'm seeing how much we've recorded so far, and I'm looking at my paper and how many questions that I've got left, and we're having fun and I don't want it to end. And it's
oh, yeah.
It's just definitely having a good time. Yeah.
I'm having a great time.
So. Great. I mean, you're going to have to come back for sure. No question. But before we start winding down, there is a couple of these questions. We might not be able to get them all done tonight, Michael, which allows you to come back if you want to come back onto, perfect, you know, in the future to finish these questions. And
definitely, if not, I'm driving through. I'm driving to Louisiana in 2 weeks. So.
All right.
Oh, do you go through? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you going anywhere near Michael?
Well, we're going down 20. So oh, 20. Probably not far.
Okay. And once again, he's leaving me at home alone. Perfect marriage, Michael.
There you go. Well, hey, you're going to be in Louisiana for Mardi Gras, so.
Oh, no, I'm in actually near Monroe, Louisiana. So I'm like,
oh, yeah, I know where Monroe is.
Yeah, way away from
right. You're right there at that Arkansas Louisiana line, right?
Well, I'm actually across the border. We're actually in, oh, I forgot the name of the little town. We're right across from Jackson,
Mississippi.
Yeah, we're right across the border into Louisiana, Delhi. That's it.
Okay,
Delhi.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he's working. This
yeah, I'm actually working.
This isn't vacation for him.
Gotcha.
So. Actually, it is a vacation.
Will you be quiet? It sounds like it's a vacation for me now. Okay, moving on, Michael. We're off track, Steve. Moving on, Michael. Cast members, we all love them.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. If you could be a cast member and you could only choose one role, which role of a cast members would you do for a day?
Probably skipper on Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
For sure. Any excuse to use the most ridiculous dry dad humor of all time, that's the place to do it.
Okay, I am interviewing you for a day as a cast member. Give me your best one-liner. Mm.
Oh, don't put me on the spot like that.
I won't. No, it's okay, no, Michael. No.
You can have a second because I'm gonna do mine.
No, that's not fair to Michael.
Oh man.
Or you could be entertained by Steve and listen to his one. All right,
while you're thinking of yours, I'm gonna do mine.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, there's little Squirt. Bet you think that's water in his trunk, but it's not.
Moving on, Michael, because we're quite happy to move on after that.
Okay. Yeah.
My favorite.
I'll let you off the hook this time, but next time you come on the show, you will be asked to.
You'll have to do the whole spiel.
Oh my gosh, that would be fun.
Okay, well, I do have one.
Oh, great.
Why do fathers take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing? Just in case they get a hole in one.
Da, da, da.
It wasn't that good, I'm sorry.
No, that was actually, yeah.
No, I've not heard that one. Actually, I have not heard that one. Was your dad a golfer by any chance?
No.
Okay.
he has yelled at a few golf clubs in his day, but not a golfer.
Okay. I'm sure when you and Bob's go to Disney, you don't come back empty-handed. If Steve and I came to your house, what kind of Disney things, if anything, might we see on display in your house?
It was a couple years ago. We got one of the glass Mickey head ornaments that's got the parks on the inside of it. It's kind of big and just got the glass, you know, it's glass, got the parks on the inside. We have that on kind of like a stand in our living room. We actually have a baby Groot, plant holder. You know, we have a fake plant in it,
yeah.
But, we've got one of those. And in our hallway, we actually have, it's a framed like Mickey collage picture. We actually found it at a yard sale. It's a Mickey collage picture. It's got all the different characters on it. And it's got a quote from Walt that says, "Animation can explain whatever the mind of man can conceive." We have that one on there. And then we got like our pins like on both sides of it. And in my little studio that I'm in, I've got two prints signed by Greg McCullough.
Yeah.
I got the Boba Fett Donald Duck one and the Mickey Anakin Pod Racer prints. And actually, I got them both signed while he was there. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that was good. I have not ever met him, but he seems to be really a really good artist. Oh, he's a great artist, but I mean,
yeah,
really good with the people when he's out there.
Yes, he was a lot of fun to meet. Super nice. Was had no issue with just talking to me about his stuff and signing all my stuff and all that. You know, he was super nice guy.
It's kind of funny, Michael. I mean, when I think of our house, kind of a fair size house, not huge by any means, but we started off in one room only for Disney stuff. And over, you know, 20 odd years we've been going, I don't think there's one room that doesn't have Disney stuff in it. Nope. I mean, Disney has just taken over. Nope. I mean,
yeah, we're kind of the same way. Like, if you know, if we like to do like yard sales and stuff. And I found, this was a couple of months ago, I found a little small picture frame of, it was a picture of the scene from 101 Dalmatians where they're all watching the TV. I cannot remember the name of the dog.
It's a German Shepherd.
Yeah, the German Shepherd. Yeah, where they're all sitting around watching the TV. And it's just little small picture, probably, I don't know, maybe like a 4x5x6 or something picture. And we actually have that in one of our rooms that probably nobody really actually looks at. But yeah, that was a yard sale find, just like the Mickey collage picture. So
okay, you and I would get on so well.
She was ready to come down to
Alabama. I want to come and join you and Bob's going on these garage sales because
that was her and her dad's thing, was garage sales. And then when me and her got together, we just kept that going. So she's who got me into doing the garage sales. So
most of my finds of Disney stuff, I mean, we got some collectibles, you know, like, you know, we've paid real prices, you know, for example, Jim Shaw. But most of my stuff, if I look around, it's either free bits from Disney or, you know, it's where I've gone up to Canada to see the kids, and my kids know my addiction and they take me to all the, you know, Goodwill. What do you call them down here? Oh, Goodwill.
Goodwill, yeah.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, I'm in heaven, because that's why I find most of my good Disney stuff is up in Canada. You know, the local one here in Rock Hill, South Carolina, forget it. Although I did get the popcorn bucket of Steamboat
Willie
for
$1.99. Cool.
Which my sister had the week before paid $19 for.
And,
right?
Yeah. And I paid under $2, so.
There you go.
We are not going to end this show without one last question, Michael.
Okay.
Okay, because I know I sent this question to you. And that is, if you could be in a Disney movie, which movie and what character or / actor would you want to play and why?
I would have to say probably Star Wars. 100%. And okay. I would have to go with Chewie.
Ah, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. I know I know Chewie's been through some things. He's lost some people along the way, but yeah, definitely Star Wars. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and Chewie is definitely number one.
Can you make the noise of Chewie? I'm really putting you on this. No, you know what? Hard. I am I so that, putting you on the spot, Michael.
No,
just
it's
tell
fine.
Me to be quiet.
I used to be able to do it. Hang on.
There you go.
Ooh.
You got it.
Nice.
Yeah, that doesn't happen every day. So.
No, I know. That's
oh, that's nice. I've got a soundbite now to use on future shows.
Yep. Perfect.
Hey, Michael, I can't believe how quick the time has gone. I have just so enjoyed doing this episode with you. I really have. And
oh, yeah, I have too. I appreciate you having me come on. I've had a great time.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm so glad that Steve came and joined us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Mostly at the end of every show, I do say, if you want to be a guest or you have a show idea, you know, just let me know, either through the Facebook group like Michael did, or send me an email at Sheila@monorailtales.com. Michael's living proof that you do survive coming on this show, right, Michael?
Even when I'm here.
Even when Steve's
definitely
here. It's a lot of fun, and we really want to get to know our listeners and our Facebook group members, because like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, everyone has a Disney story, a Disney side, that most of us can relate to and want to hear about. So, Michael, you have made this show tonight.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough. I know our time is not over. It is for now, but I do see you coming back on in the future for, you know, trip reports and so forth. So, Michael,
definitely,
I can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And I thank you all for letting me come on. It's
great.
I've had a great time.
Okay. Now, just very quickly, because I know the English listeners out there, or Canadians, or anyone that doesn't live in the South, Michael, you got to do this for us, because it's one thing I fell in love with my husband for. Yes, ma'am. Let's hear it.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thanks again, Michael. Good night to all our listeners.
She's going to be replaying that over and over on a loop.
Yep. Good night, everybody. Take care, and we'll talk real soon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new.
Thank you!